Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On a Friday, hour number two, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Adrian Wojnarowski, about an hour ago, said the NBA is planning a Thursday vote of the Board of Governors with an expectation that owners will approve Adam Silver's recommendation on a format to restart the season in Orlando. Woj then added that that idea by Silver is going to be invitations for 20 to 22 teams to resume the season. Let's chat about that right now. We'll do so with a former NBA player, now does a great job. And you can hear Antonio Daniels throughout the year on the only place on radio for 24/7 coverage of the NBA. And that's SiriusXM NBA Radio. Also does a great job as an analyst for the Pelicans. And Antonio Daniels is here with us. Antonio, thanks for the time. How you been?
I'm Zach. Thanks for having me, brother. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. Appreciate you coming on. So I've been advocating for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, who knows, during this pandemic I lose all sense of time. But I've been wanting the traditional format, wherever the standings were, 1-8 in the East, 1-8 in the West, the winner of the East, the winner of the West, then meet up in the finals. It seems like the NBA is not going to do that. Your reaction?
I'm glad they're not going to do that. Obviously, that's the simplest thing to do. And it eliminates playing games, it eliminates pool play, it eliminates all the other complex ways to go about restarting the season. But the fact of the matter is, there were still 16, 17, 18 games remaining for teams. And if you were in the race or you had an opportunity to play yourself into the playoffs, the thing is, even if the Pelicans were in eighth place right now, I still would be in favor of a play-in tournament, or you giving teams an opportunity or some incentive to come back and play. Because this is what we have to understand, Zach. It's tough to ask teams to come back for 5 months of camp, 1 to 2 weeks of individual camp, and then you have 2 to 3 weeks of training camp as a ramp-up period to come back and play with no incentive. The incentive has to be you're giving them an opportunity to make the playoffs.
And I hear what you're saying there, but why not just go right to the postseason with your traditional 16-team format? I know what the answer is. It's money and it's TV rights deals as well,
right?
And that's what it comes down to. But in these different times where you're going to be losing money anyway, and I know you want to try to decrease those costs, it just seems like the obvious thing to do is to just go to, you know, that 16 teams that would have made the playoffs.
I don't think that's the obvious thing. I think that's the more simplest thing to do.
I think it's the most intelligent thing. That's just me, though.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on who you talk to. You know what I mean? Because I know, like, for myself, I'm all for 10, 11 teams and them playing it out to get an opportunity to secure that eighth spot. You know what I mean? I'm all for teams that maybe were in fifth and they have an opportunity to move up to fourth and have home court first round. That changes things. Because what we're focusing on right now is just teams that are in 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. What about the teams that are in 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th? And if you're in 6th, you have an opportunity to move up to 4th and have home court first round. We're not talking about that. We're just leaving it at as the only ones that are impacted are 8, 9, 10, and 11, and it's more than that.
So I don't have the information. We don't know what the format is really going to look like as Antonio Daniels is here with us. If it is 20 to 22 teams, what do you think the proper format would be to try to figure out how you try to get some sort of authentic playoffs.
That's the difficult part. That's the most complex piece of this. And if you're going to have 10 and 11 teams, obviously you're having 10 and 11 teams to give again. The word incentive continues to come up. So there has to be some incentive present for a team that's in 11th or a team that's in 10th or 9th to play to have an opportunity to reach the playoffs. So there has to be some sort of play-in that's not just about going back and playing five or six games. I think that's why the date that they're setting is around July 31st, because it's not an easy thing to – it's not an easy format to come up with. You know, like I said, I think the simplest thing to do I think what eliminates a lot of confusion would be say, all right, you know what, let's just bring the top 16 teams and let's go 1 through 16, change the playoff format, you know, and do it that way. But I don't think that's fair. And the thing is, when you're talking about a situation like this, and the coronavirus has taken us all down a road that we've never been before, someone's going to be unhappy. Someone's going to be unhappy.
Sure.
Here. Even when it's all said and done, if your team doesn't win the championship, whoever your team is, not you particularly, but people are going to say it has an asterisk by it. You know, even though everyone out there is dealing with the same exact situation. So this is Adam Silver is a great leader, and he's been a great leader from day one since he took over as the commissioner of the NBA. This is different. This is different. I trust him, and I'm on board with what they're trying to accomplish right now.
Do you believe and do you trust, if this is the format where they do that World Cup group style stuff, would you be a fan of that?
I'm not a fan of the group play. I'm not a fan of that. I'm more a fan of the play-in, because for me, group play is more geared towards soccer and the Olympics. You know, that's not something that you tend to affiliate with the NBA. But again, we're at different times. Nor do you affiliate playing games with the NBA. That's something you affiliate with the NCAA tournament, where you have 68 teams to get down to 64 teams. So one way or another, it's going to be something different as far as the NBA playoff system goes and the way it comes about than we're accustomed to. But COVID-19 has brought that for all of us.
If you were a player, and once again, we don't know the format, and let's say you were still playing as we're talking to Antonio Daniels, and I saw what Damian Lillard said the other day. If he is asked to return and they don't have a legitimate shot and a fair shot to make
the
playoffs,
makes all the sense in the world to me.
He wouldn't play. I agree with him. I know a lot of people ripped him and they called him selfish. I wouldn't risk my body for 5-6 games where you could maybe have what happened to Durant or Thompson in the playoffs last year.
Right. Okay, this is how I think of it, Zach. I know fans want to see basketball. I grasp that concept. But I'm asking you to take off your fan hat and put on the business hat, because mm-hmm. that's what this comes down to. It comes down to a business decision.
Yeah.
If there's no incentive for guys to come back and play, if I'm Brandon Ingram and I have played this well up to 66 games this year or 64 games this year, and I played myself into max money, but you're telling me I'm mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. What do I have to gain by coming back and playing five games? I'm risking it all. I'm risking it all to play five games where there's nothing more that I can accomplish. I played myself into max money. I have a max deal waiting for me when the season ends. If there's no incentive in place, you risk something. You risk losing star power. If I'm the Pelicans, do I play Zion? Why would I play Zion? If I'm Brandon Ingram, would I want to play? If I'm Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, all these guys, all these teams and organizations that have stars affiliated with them, when there's no incentive, there's no reason for them to go out and play. But here's the thing. Let's not act like this is new. Like what Damian Lillard said was something that just happened this year. Last year, when LeBron James got hurt and they were out of playoff contention, he shut it down.
And deservedly so.
No one had an issue with it. Because
yep.
that's what the NBA is about. If you are a star in this league and you have nothing more to accomplish and your team is mathematically eliminated, there's no reason whatsoever to risk your future for five or six games.
We don't know what the format is, but I can guarantee you this. Zion Williamson's going to get a shot to make the playoffs. I believe what Windhorst said.
I'm all for that. And you know that. being the color analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans, I am all for that. And the thing is, you know, the New Orleans has been on the wrong side of so many different issues with the NBA for quite some time. So it's about time that things started to sort of shift in their direction. This is a star-driven league. It always has been, more than any professional league, more than baseball, more than the NFL, more than the NHL. The NBA is a star-driven league. Fans want to see stars. Stars bring in money. Stars bring in eyes. So, yes, you want to see Zion out there. He has not had an opportunity to scratch the surface yet. And fans and owners alike want to see that.
I love New Orleans. I love going down there. We were talking about in the last hour, get some Irene's, you get some beignets from Café Du Monde, you get some gumbo, some po' boys. You don't need to sell me on New Orleans, but they had Anthony Davis. They could not keep him. Now they have Zion Williamson. In this process, how do you try to keep Zion? I know we may not be thinking about that in year one, but down the road, what can they do to try to keep him in New Orleans?
Well, I think they're off to a great start, because I think right now, if you look at the landscape of the NBA, I would think that they have the best under 25 trio in the league right now. So that's how you start. What you start is doing exactly what David Griffin did, surrounding Zion with guys whose skill set complement his skill set. The Lonzo Balls, the Brandon Ingrams, the Jackson Hayes, some of these guys. And then you add in some veteran presence, the Drew Holiday, the J.J. Redick, the Derek Favors, and then you bring in the rough guys, you know, guys that are willing to do whatever it takes to win, guys like Josh Hart, guys like Kendrick Williams. So you're giving an opportunity for these guys to grow together, to develop some chemistry and to develop some camaraderie over years. And that's how you get guys to stay. And the thing is, in this league, we know when you have good young talent attracts good old talent.
At the end of the 2020-2021 season, Giannis Antetokounmpo will be a free agent. What do they need to do to keep Giannis?
That's a great question. And the thing is, you got to win. Giannis has made he's made it obvious what matters to him, and that's postseason success. So what they did this past year is, they had the best record in the league, but yet they don't reach the NBA Finals. And Giannis has made no secret about the fact that he is looking at postseason success. So it sounds easy to say, like it's an easy answer, to say the way to keep Giannis is to win or to get to the NBA Finals or to win the NBA Finals, because that seems to be his mentality. He is all about winning. And that's another reason I want this season to resume, obviously, as long as all the proper steps are taken to keep everybody healthy. But there are some teams here that have a lot to gain and a lot to lose in the process.
And if I'm John Horst, if I am Peter Fagan, if I'm Coach Budenholzer, if you go to this 2022 team format and who knows what exactly looks like, I would be annoyed. I'd be the most annoyed, because I would want that traditional format, because in the East, it looked like they were going to get to the finals this year. It really did.
Right, and if you look at the 1 through 16, if that's indeed the direction that they choose to go, Milwaukee has a tough road.
Yeah, because they have the Clippers in that bracket.
Right. It's equivalent to being in the NCAA tournament and having the toughest bracket, the toughest road to get to the Final Four. You know, if you look at that 1 through 16 and how the matchups end up, after you get past Orlando, the matchups that you have after that, The Oklahoma City and Miami, and then in that same bracket is Boston and Philadelphia. Like, you have such the Clippers and Dallas. You have such a tough road to even get to the NCAA Finals. So I'm with you. If I'm Milwaukee, I'm all for the traditional format of 1-8 East, 1-8 West.
Who's the MVP of the league with what you've seen so far? Is it Giannis or LeBron?
Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, it's been Giannis all year.
And I agree.
Here's the thing. I've said all year, LeBron is the best player in the world right now, but Giannis Antetokounmpo is the MVP. If you look at all the stats across the board that we look at when we're talking about MVP, because I understand the way it works. You have to have a narrative when you're talking about who's the most valuable player. And if your narrative and your storyline on why LeBron is the most valuable player is simply because of his age, I can't rock with that. I can't rock with that. Giannis Antetokounmpo has done everything that an MVP is supposed to do to win back-to-back MVP. He is scoring, rebounding, field goal percentage, defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency. He's playing on the best team in the league record-wise. You know, if you go down the list, block shots, all of these different things, he's done exactly what he needs to do to repeat as this league's most valuable player. That's not taking anything from LeBron, because I feel like LeBron James is the best player on the planet at his age.
Antonio Daniels here with us for a few more minutes. Before this all happened, if I were to ask you if it was the traditional format and if we never went through the coronavirus pandemic and if we were in the playoffs right now, your finals would have been what? Bucks, I'm assuming, in the East up against who in the West?
The Clippers. That's what I, you know, before the season starts, they have us fill all this stuff out for SiriusXM, NBA. You know, who was your finals? Who do you have winning all? I had the Clippers win it all from day one. You know, I felt like with what they had last year with Montrezl Harrell and with Lou Williams and that team, Doc Rivers, all of the guys that they have coming back, and now you bring in star power. Now you bring in the star power of Kawhi Leonard and also Paul George. In a league where versatility is key, to have guys that you can throw out there on the floor in between 6'5", 6'6", to 6'8", and 6'9", that can do multiple things. So now you look at this team that the Clippers can put on the floor to guard anyone and to give problems to anyone offensively. So from day one, I had the Clippers versus the Bucks, and I had the Clippers winning it all.
If this starts up on July 31st, which has been the talk as of late, is Kevin Durant, you think Durant plays for the Nets?
I don't know. I'm not qualified to answer that. I've heard different things. I've heard yes, and I've heard no, you know, but I think that changes things. Obviously, that changes things. You know, if Kevin Durant comes back for the Nets, even though Kyrie Irving won't be there, you know, especially if Kevin Durant comes back as Kevin Durant, you know, you're talking about arguably a top three player in this league, you know? So I think that changes things. So if I'm a team that is playing Brooklyn first round, now I would rather go to the 1-8 format, because I don't want to come back with a team where I'm facing Kevin Durant, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, DeAndre Jordan, all of these guys, because I think Kevin Durant will give a vote of confidence to that team they have not had in quite some time.
Do you think they make a run for Bradley Beal, or do they keep a Caris LeVert?
I continue to hear that the Wizards aren't trading Bradley Beal. I continue to hear it. But, I mean, who knows? Who knows? We all know that when the right package is put out there for a team, they can say whatever it is they want to say. But when the rubber meets the road and you feel like it has an opportunity to grow you as a team, that's the move you're going to make.
Before we let you run, Antonio Daniels here with us for a few more minutes. SiriusXM NBA Radio does a great job for them, and also is the color analyst for the Pelicans. I had your former teammate Avery Johnson on a few weeks ago after the Last Dance, and he said if the Bulls run it back in 99 and they go up against your Spurs team that won it all in 99, that the Spurs would win. And his big deciding factor, he said he thinks it would have been a 7-game series. His deciding factor was he doesn't think the Bulls would have had an answer for Duncan
Me
and
too.
The Admiral
yep.
down low. Do you agree with that?
Agreed. I do agree. And I know recency bias and people see the Chicago Bulls and it's like, you know, nobody was beating that team. I get it. But we forget during that Last Dance series, as Michael Jordan spoke to, they struggled with Rick Smith. They struggled to stop Rick Smith. And he was a really, really good player. But Tim Duncan and David Robinson, those Twin Towers, they were something else. They were something else on both ends of the floor, not just offensively, but also defensively. I think the Bulls would have had a very, very difficult time matching up with those two especially.
How much longer do you think Pop coaches, and do you think Tim Duncan could be the next head coach of the Spurs one day?
Good question. I don't know. I don't know. I still talk to Tim quite often, and I know he's missing time. Obviously, when the season is going with his daughter, we have daughters that are the same age. They both play volleyball. They both play club volleyball. We want to try and be present as much as possible. So as much as he loves the sport and he loves the game of basketball, that doesn't compare to the time that he has with his daughter.
Last one for you, Antonio Daniels. And once again, you've been great with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You played for a bunch of teams, Vancouver and Seattle. How do you look back at those experiences playing for Vancouver and Seattle?
Seattle in particular. Vancouver, I have a different love for Vancouver. I was only there 1 year. But just, you know, that was my first experience of NBA basketball. So that's who drafted me. So when I got down there, the love that I received from that city was off the charts. And Seattle, me and my wife loved Seattle.
How can't you?
That is the only other team outside of San Antonio that I was blessed to play on that I thought that we had the talent, the chemistry, the camaraderie, and the roster built to win an NBA championship, and we didn't do it.
Appreciate the time. Thanks so much. You stay safe. And by the way, I think it's obvious after this appearance that I've had you on before, TNT's got to find a spot for you with Charles and Shaq and Kenny and EJ. you got to be on that. Like, you are too good. We all love radio. I love radio. We got to get you on that main TNT, that, you know, the big-time stage as well.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. That's the ultimate compliment, because that show is the best
studio show. No doubt about it. Yes. You stay safe, my friend. Thank you.
I appreciate your blessed words, brother. Thank you.
Antonio Daniel, seriously, if I'm running TNT, I put a phone call, and I know you don't need any more voices on that show. I put a phone call in tomorrow. You give me an addition with Antonio Daniels, and you put Antonio Daniels with Sir Charles, with Shaq, and then Kenny Smith with Ernie Johnson playing quarterback. You make that show better. He is that good. I really enjoyed that conversation with him. Well, break here. I did find this, by the way, because I brought it up in the last hour when we talked about DeAndre Hopkins. This was back in 2017. I talked to both DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green. Hopkins told me at the Super Bowl that year that the best wide receivers in the league were one himself, two Julio Jones, three Odell, four Antonio Brown. A.J. Green's wide receivers in 2017, at the end of that year, best in the league, one was himself, two Julio Jones, and then three Antonio Brown. Who's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now? I think it's between three options: DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, or Michael Thomas. Personally, I go with DeAndre Hopkins. How about you? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And are you on board with 20 to 22 teams in some format resuming the NBA season, or do you think it should be like myself, go right to the playoffs, 8 in the East, 8 in the West? 20 past the hour, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies. For current and new customers, it lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. At Zach Gelb on Twitter, here's our poll question for tonight. Entering the 2020 NFL season, is DeAndre Hopkins the best wide receiver in the league? 42.1% say yes right now. 57.9% say no. Let's go to Rico in Richmond. He's next up on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Rico, what's happening?
Not much, man. How are you? Are you staying safe, my man?
Yeah, staying safe. All going well. And it's a Friday, so you know what that means. At 10 p.m. Eastern time tonight, I will have some alcoholic drinks, and I'll be enjoying my night, so it'll be good. Can't wait till we get off at 10 p.m.
You and me both, sir. You and me both, sir. Just please drink responsibly. All right.
Now, well, I'm not going anywhere, so I'll just be drinking in my house. That's it. There's nowhere to go.
That's right.
But you're right. Drink responsibly. No doubt about it.
But thank you, sir. But, again, thank you for taking the call. Also, I agree. DeAndre Hopkins, number one. I say Julio, number two. And Mike Evans, number three. And here's my argument on this. Granted, I am a little biased because I am a Buccaneer. But I will say this. Mike Evans has less catches, more yards than Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas is the only solid wide receiver in the New Orleans Saints. Plus, he had Drew Brees. Mike Evans, Jameis Winston. Awful, Jameis Winston. So that's my only argument. What do you think, my man?
Wait, so you're a Bucs fan is what you're telling me? And I guess we lost Rico. He says he's a Buccaneer. He makes it seem like he's a member of the football team. I personally, and I like Mike Evans a lot, and, you know, I've seen his story before. I'm a big fan of Mike Evans, and I think he's going to have an unbelievable year this year. But did he say Mike Evans, less catches, more yards. That's not true. Mike Evans, and I know he got hurt at the end of the year, 1,157 yards this past year, and Michael Thomas at somewhere over 1,700 yards. Now, career-wise, yes, Mike Evans has more yards. He has 7,200-plus yards. 7,200-plus yards. That was over 6 years, though. Michael Thomas has been in the league for 4 years, and Michael Thomas in the league for 4 years has 5,512 yards and 32 touchdowns. Evans, who's been in the league for 6 years, 7,260 yards to be exact, and 48 touchdowns. Evans is a heck of a player, and now he gets a significant upgrade at quarterback going from Winston to Brady. I put Evans, though, if I had to rank this, if you ask me the receivers that I would want for this upcoming year, and let me go in order now, I would say Hopkins 1. I would still put Julio 2. I would go Michael Thomas 3. Then Mike Evans 4. And if I have to pick a fifth, I'm basically deciding, you know, you probably go Tyreek Hill. Those right now, with AB not in the picture, and A.J. Green just been hurt too many years and hasn't been the same A.J. Green, I would say your five best receivers in football, and you could move them in any order that you want. If we're being fair, you could move them in any order that you want, because to say that Hopkins is one, you could just make as compelling of a case that Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, or Mike Evans, or Tyreek Hill should be one. For Hopkins, and I know you look at the entirety of the career, and the question is entering 2020. And I like that combination of him and Kyler Murray. I just look at Hopkins, and this is a guy, the two things that stand out to me the most about him was that 2015 season when he was playing with absolute garbage at quarterback and Hoyer, Mallett, Yates, and Whedon, and he had over 110 catches, over 1,500 yards, and 11 touchdowns. That's absurd playing with those four quarterbacks. Julio Jones has had Matt Ryan. Now, that doesn't mean Julio Jones isn't a great receiver. It'd be ludicrous to say that. Michael Thomas did go five games last year without Drew Brees, has had Drew Brees. Mike Evans, okay, had Jameis Winston. Now, Winston throws a ton of yards. He just throws a lot of interceptions, too. And then you have the speed of Tyreek Hill as well. When I look at the five receivers, Hopkins, Jones, Thomas, Evans, and Tyreek Hill. And I really do believe that Odell Beckham's going to have a monster year this year. Devontae Adams is going to need to have another monster year and stay healthy, because just bringing in Devin Funchess for the Packers is not enough to really maybe, I don't want to say limit his reps, but spread that football out a little bit more. And if you know, Godwin, I think, is going to have a big year too, another big year now playing with Brady. Here's one that very underrated. And we know that he's a good player, but probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves because of the football team that he plays for. And remember, that quarterback situation was usually not a disaster, was a disaster last year. Kenny Galladay last year, you know, he was someone that had 65 receptions, almost 1,200 yards, and 11 touchdowns. That is damn impressive. Where he goes in last year and plays 16 games, and when did Stafford get hurt? Let me see how many games Stafford played last year before he went out for the rest of the season. Now you get Stafford back, so Galladay's number should even go up more. But Stafford last year in 2019, Matthew Stafford played a total of, it was 8 games. So half the season, Galladay is playing with not good, to put it nicely, not good quarterbacks. Or you had like David Blau on the field at one point. So that was a situation where last year, where Blau did play 5 games, Galladay, very impressive too. But, yeah, five receivers, best five receivers in the league, Hopkins, Jones, Thomas, Evans, and I would go with Tyreek Hill. That would be the five. But look at this year for wide receivers. You got Hopkins with Murray. Julio Jones will see, and now he has Calvin Ridley with him too. That's going to be a fun offense. They're going to throw the ball a lot. They have, you know, I know they have Gurley, but you're going to try to limit the reps with Gurley, and Dirk Cutter loves to throw the football. Michael Thomas got Emmanuel Sanders. So you have a legit number two there. Evans is going to be teamed up with Godwin and Gronk and has Brady. Odell, Landry, Baker, can they get it going? We know what Tyreek Hill has on that offense led by Kelce and Mahomes. And then Davante Adams is going to need to stay healthy and be the guy. That grouping, though, that's a fun, and I mean a fun grouping of wide receivers. And I'll be very curious to see what A.J. Green's going to do this year with Joe Burrow. And can A.J. Green stay healthy? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, let's chat some more Packers. Matt LaFleur had a few things to say about drafting Jordan Love, and a former Packers wide receiver would not be surprised if Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP this year. We'll chat about that when we return.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, like your show. First time I've heard it, but I like your style.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Talking about some of the best wide receivers in football, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Kenny Galladay, you know, some that jump right off the page immediately. You also got to put Keenan Allen in that conversation, too. Now, you look at what he's been able to do the last 3 years. Almost 1,400 yards in 2017, almost 1,200 yards in 2018, and almost 1,200 yards in 2019. Be curious to see what he could do this year with Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert. But Keenan Allen is a heck of a wide receiver, as you know. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton, also a very good wide receiver. Yeah, had a good 2018, very good 2018. 2016, probably the best year of his career. I'll give you one, though, that I don't think anyone would ever bring up in this conversation. And I'm not saying he's a top 10 wide receiver in this league. And we've talked about him in the last month, month and a half. I think I gave him a stock up just because of how underrated he is. Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson has had to play for Christian Hackenberg in college. Then played with Blake Bortles in the pros with Jacksonville. And in 2015, with Bortles as his quarterback, had 80 receptions and 1,400 yards even, and 14 touchdowns. In 2019, with Mitchell Trubisky as his quarterback, 98 receptions, 1,147 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's a heck of a wide receiver. And someone that we know is very good as well, and is in the top 10. And I think he's going to have a monster year last year. And we saw what he did last year. Last year was his big breakout year. Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin, there is no doubt about it. Top 10 wide receiver in this league. Look what he did last year. Over 1,300 yards, 86 receptions, and 9 touchdowns. That offense is going to be ridiculous in Tampa Bay. With Brady throwing the football to Godwin, Gronk, Evans. You got Cameron Brait and O.J. Howard. Oh, my, oh, my. How do you stop that offense? You got to put Brady on his bottom. That's the only way you're going to stop it. Trace, is there an underrated wide receiver in your mind? Who's an underrated wide receiver in football, in your opinion?
I was going to say Keenan Allen. He's a guy that I feel like is really good, always productive, but no one really pays attention to the Chargers. No one really gives him the credit that I feel like he deserves to be one of those top receivers in the game. So I think he's a guy that you mentioned before. Just he's overshadowed just for playing with the Chargers. And again, not always, you know, at the tip of your tongue, at the top of your head when you're talking about great wide receivers, but he produces game in, game out, year in, year out. He's always there towards the top in all the numbers. So Keenan Allen would be a guy for me that, just to repeat basically what you said, but that's the name I would choose out of this bunch.
And it's wild. He's been in the league, actually, since 2013. But the last 3 years, which are his three best years in the league, We're with Los Angeles and not San Diego. And you're right. No one cares about the Los Angeles Chargers. You know, you heard Melvin Gordon the other day. You know, I'm used to playing with no fans in the stands because I never had a home field advantage when I was with the LA Chargers. And I think the Chargers have some talent. You know, I have changed my opinion on the Chargers where before they – and I didn't think they were going to take a quarterback in this draft like right when the offseason ended. I thought they would play make a play for Trevor Lawrence. But you look at that roster, it's a very good roster where you have Melvin Ingram and you have Bosa on that defensive line. You got Derwin James, just got killed with injuries last year, but he's a heck of a player. And then offensively, you have Keenan Allen. You have Mike Williams. All right, quarterback is it's going to be a rotating door. You lose Gordon, but Austin Eckler's a good football player, and you improve that offensive line this offseason too. Making that trade for Turner. I know you lost Okung in the process, but you did make that trade for Turner. That Chargers team, and we'll talk about this later when we do our simulation. I think, you know, they're in that range this year of anywhere between 6 to 9, probably, in the AFC, where they could be a 6 seed or a 7 seed, or they'll be on the outside looking in for the playoffs. But I expect them to be competing for a playoff spot this year. I really do. Any other wide receivers that you think we missed here, Trace? Anyone that jumps off the mind? Like, you could talk about Julian Edelman, maybe. I'll be curious to see what Edelman, a Super Bowl MVP, does this year without Tom Brady. You know, Stephon Diggs is a very good wide receiver. I don't think he's great, but he's very good. Juju Smith-Schuster has a lot to prove this year. Has to stay healthy. Has to show me he could be a number one wide receiver. Anyone else, though, that you think of? You know, Amari Cooper, to me, is good, very good. I don't put him in the great category. Is there anyone else out there that jumps off the page to you here?
I mean, what about Tyler Lockett? How would you categorize him?
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, one of those
underrated
guys that's been a solid, right? He's been the main guy for Russell Wilson or no one else around him, and he's still been able to produce. I would say he deserves in the underrated category, would you say?
Yeah, underrated. And you have DK Metcalf there as well. And how about the two in L.A.? Cooper Kupp is a good wide receiver, and Robert Woods is a good wide receiver, too. Very good wide receivers as well. So those are just some that do jump off the page to me when we talk about some of the better wide receivers in the National Football League. And you know who I'll also be very curious about this year? I'll be very curious after a tremendous, and I mean a tremendous rookie season, A.J. Brown with Tennessee. You look at A.J. Brown. Started 11 games with Tennessee last year, 52 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That's another wide receiver that I'm wondering how much he improves in year number two in the National Football League. But, you know, that's a good call of Lockett. Lockett is a heck of a wide receiver, and I know he's been there since 2015, but really the last 2 years we've seen that new wave, that new identity of the Seattle Seahawks, and he was good in 2018 and took that extra step in 2019. And, you know, had back-to-back really solid years, and now can he take a huge leap here in year number three, you know, in that, I don't want to call it a rebuild, but that new era of Seattle Seahawks football. Let me get to a little bit about Aaron Rodgers. I heard Matt LaFleur do an interview this week. He said, on drafting Jordan Love, it was just one of those situations where there were a couple of guys targeted that had just previously been picked, and Jordan was the next guy on the board, and so we went with the best player at the time. Huh? Matt LaFleur, like, what are you selling now? Is your nose growing? Are you Pinocchio? You traded up for Jordan Love. You weren't sitting there on draft night, and oh, you're picking at number 30. Oh, well, all these guys got picked. We had to cross all these guys off the list. The best player on our board is Jordan Love. No! Can we have some transparency in the Packers organization? It's very simple. Rodgers' time in Green Bay is coming to a close within the next 2 to 4 years. Probably more in the next 2 to 3 years. You want it as an organization, the general manager and the head coach, they want to eventually move on from Aaron Rodgers. And they love Jordan Love so much that they jumped up in the process to do that. Why can't we be honest here? You weren't sitting around in your home office, yet all these guys that you were targeting, they all got crossed off the board, and then he just fell into your lap? That's nonsense. It's not true. What happened was you traded up from 30 to 26 to get him. And if you did that, okay, fine. But you didn't do enough in the draft. And we've been over this over and over again. You didn't do enough in the draft and free agency to solidify that defense and get Rodgers another legit weapon to complement Davante Adams in the receiving game. You didn't do that. You have two very good offensive players outside of Aaron Rodgers. When you don't talk about offense alignment, that's Davante Adams and that's Aaron Jones. You're hoping that Alan Lazard or Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Devin Funchess ends up being that legit number two guy. I don't see it. So that's what LaFleur said. Come on, what is he trying to sell there? And then I did hear Pat McAfee had James Jones on. This is what James Jones had to say on the Pat McAfee Show. The Pat McAfee Show about Aaron Rodgers and maybe winning the MVP this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers wins MVP this year, man.
Oh.
He's a guy who's always going to accept the challenge, man. He's going to always rise to the occasion, man. And now you have a guy in the first round who eventually is going to have to play. We don't know if it's going to be 4 years. We don't know if it's going to be 2 years. We don't know if it's going to be 10. We don't know. But we know when you take a guy in the first round, they are going to want to see him play before his contract is up. And Aaron Rodgers knows that. He was one of those guys that was drafted in the first round and had those opportunities. So he knows for that. To push that back, you have to play at a high level. And I believe Aaron Rodgers is going to come out. He will win MVP this year.
All right, so he's going to say he will win MVP. I don't think he will win MVP. Will it surprise me if he does? No. But they're going to run the football a lot this year in Green Bay. They drafted the running back out of BC in the second round, Dillon. You already had two running backs there in Jones and Williams. So they're going to make a more of a conscientious effort like they did last year to run the football more. But if you ask me MVP of the league right now, it's going to be Mahomes. I hate to go with the obvious, but how do you pick anybody other than Mahomes? Like, you think of MVP candidates this year, Jackson, Mahomes. I guess you would go Watson with the Texans. You know, Wentz, maybe an outside chance of Dak, which is how explosive that offense could be. Maybe if Minnesota, if they win 12 games, could you maybe get Kirk Cousins? But you probably think Dalvin Cook will have the better season than Kirk. Brady, maybe. Russell Wilson. I mean, those are just some of the guys you think of. So would it shock me if Rodgers wins the MVP? No. But if you make me have one guess right now, it's a no-brainer. It's Patty Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Coming on back, Jim Harbaugh. What are you saying? Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.